instruction, not pastoral. Mrs. Betty Walker, California Northwest. C, edification through indoctrination, bringing new converts up. Mrs. Ruby Irving, Michigan Southwest. Elders of delegation, Sunshine Band, Church Class, Prayer and Bible Band, and so forth. Reactors, Mrs. Charlie Raymond of Eastern New York. Mrs. Beulah Harrison, she's absent, Southern Illinois. Mrs. Stanley Ruth, Stanley is taking her place. Mrs. Irene Butler, Oklahoma Southeast. Now the speakers have 7 minutes, and also the reactors, 5 minutes. You can say a whole lot at 7 minutes. Speak to the point, get it over to us, or they did it on yesterday, and we'll have a nice time, get out on time, and always have a glorious time. And we want you to come as the program has been raised, and now is the time. Be ready for it.
Magnifies in our church that I am $1,000, I pay them in their $1,000. I love to pay tithes. Please, my God, don't get poor on me.
Go ahead, Mother. Talk
to
you.
I'm just talking about the church a little while. Now, maybe you want me to take you to the sky if I can do that, but I've got something else to tell you about.
That's right, Mother.
Praise the Lord. So we have turned to the Lord these days, and for which we are thanking God. But the Lord in these last days has given me the privilege to talk with preachers' wives and tell them to work with your husband in the church. Praise the Lord. Not ahead of him. A preacher's wife should be the humblest woman in the church. I hear you talking back to me and say, Mama, if we are not humble, they'll make us humble. Praise the Lord. But if she loves God and loves her husband, she wants her husband to go. And that woman will make every sacrifice to see her husband come to the top. Preacher's wife don't hold everything she sees. She don't buy everything she can buy. Lord, please tonight don't let me get it.
Go ahead, Mother. I know that's right.
I worked for 11 years trying to get enough money to buy us a home, get my husband back. The Lord had told him to build a church. He came up to the house one day and said, Mama, I got to have that money you got down there. I said, what? He said, I want all the money. I said, how much you want, Dad? He said, Mama, the building is stopped. We have no more money. And we have trained the people. So now you and I have got to pick up the load. I said, well, what do you want, Dad? He said, I want every dime you got for $5. I looked at the days I toiled and how I stood in corners to catch the bus and got wet with the midnight dew and all of this to save up that little change to buy a home. I got tired of parsonages. People run over you in a parsonage, run over the pastor's wife, treat her so bad. I said, I want a home. I said, Dad, do you mean you're going to take every dime we got? He said, yes. I'm glad that word we came back to me. Because we never lived two. We never had two pocketbooks. We had one. We never had two bank accounts. We started out, we didn't have nothing.
I know that's right.
But as the Lord blessed us to go along, now I know I've been not looking at the preachers or the preacher's wives.
You look at me.
Because we didn't have two bank accounts.
You don't either. No, you don't have one.
What was his was his. What was mine?
Yeah.
But we worked together. Praise the Lord. Come home and there's $1,000 in my purse. I lay down for a little while. When I get up, the purse was almost upside down.
You get it.
I got my first time to say I made that money. That's my money. I've never said it.
Lord, you had a home.
I let it take it and go ahead and use it. Because I knew if we keep on living, the first Sunday was coming. That's where I got my pain. Praise the Lord. So we work like that, man and wife.
Man.
All of our lives, we work together. Praise the Lord. I remember him saying one day on his sickbed in the hospital, he said, Lord, raise me up. I got just a little more work I want to do for my children. He said, I don't want to leave them outdoors, and I don't want to leave them beds. God raised him up from that bed when the doctors had notified me just a few more God raised him up, and he lived with us 5 more years.
Oh, praise the Lord.
He was able to accomplish the many things he wanted to do. Mm. Praise the Lord. And yet the pain is still there.
I know, that's right.
But the comfort is ours. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad about it tonight. Minister's wife, if you will live with your husband or your husband at the church, in your older days or when you need the church will be there. Now you can't boss the church.
Yeah,
everybody can have something to say in the church but the preacher's wife. Mm-hmm. And they'll take it. But just as soon as she wants to say something in the Bible, man, you say, well, they get out of your place. Mm-hmm. But if I didn't have to say it in church, I'd put so much Bible man in him at home. Can he go back and come back there and use that same Bible man I've been talking about? Praise the Lord. The Lord bless us to live like that. Now, God bless you tonight. I shall not have some more things to do, and I shall not go. But I just want to say a few little about good things, too. Because of the fact that I had a note today that said something about a minister's wife. And having been one for 43 years, I know the story. But women, if you'll move on, and if you'll be true, if you'll cry, sometimes, praise the Lord, if you'll hold your peace, and if you'll let God fight your battle, he'll bring you out. And then when that evil day comes, the time that you need help and need your church, they'll be there. This pastor that you see sitting here, in the church where we pastor, has never missed one fifth Sunday in the year of giving me the offering. I get much more when I'm not there than I do when I'm there. Looks like you want to say, I don't want to stay alone. Now, there's been gone 15 or 18 years, and for you to have to say that he's never missed a Sunday giving me what was mine. And if I walk in his church tonight, Holy Spirit, and teach the Bible there, they do me just like the little missionary Johnson there. They don't say moms at home. But to give me a real good offering to write in his church. Now, I thought I might say a little bit of that because I have somebody. If we are workers together, God will bless us. So let's go on from that now, but I wanted to say that because sometimes somebody needs just what you're thinking about. Praise the Lord. I want to retract myself and bring myself and all of that are here tonight, praise the Lord. And this beautiful audience, I want to thank our bishop for allowing us as women to turn aside 6 days out of the week every year and hold a convention. We used to say a women's convention, but if you cast your eye with me around and see all some of the greatest men in our church sitting here tonight, and our bishop in town, ready to greet us, and all of these pastors and bishops here, praise the Lord, you don't have to say like me. We don't use the word anymore, and yet we are allowed to operate. The ministry, carry on the convention of this particular meeting. But brethren, we have laid aside the word women's convention almost, and we're saying our convention. I met one of the bishops out in the hall this evening. He run up and grabbed me. He said, Mama? I said, yes. He said, do you know we are having a time? I said, what did you say? He said, Mama, we having a time. I want to happened to catch what he was saying. We. I said, what you say, honey? He said, we are having the time. He said, we got this thing going. That just suited me. Because the church is one. We're no more male or female or like that are separated or divided. But God has made us and is making us one. Now, women, I don't want you to frown up at me tonight. But I remember the time when one of my elders came into our convention and sit down in the wrong place and certain sister grabbed me and said, you don't belong in here, no house. And it's women's seats.
Jesus.
And I sit there and said, oh God, I wish I could handle her.
No, that's right. She needed him.
But now we're all working together. I wonder if you see that beautiful group of men in that class this morning. My sister said to me, Mother Clark said to me, I can't hear what these women say for getting in these men business. They were really discussing the scripture. And I said, how beautiful this is for all of us to come together like this and praise the Lord. So every time I had a chance, I said, Bishop, thank you for allowing the women a chance. Brother, I want to tell you something tonight, and I hope nobody will get angry with me. If you do, I got James. Praise the Lord, and I got James. But a few days ago, when we were allowed, it was already organized and working nicely, the women's convention. But God came on in, and I cannot go back over all of that this evening, because I'm just going to talk to you in a few minutes, but I hope I'll leave you thinking. And carried home our darling, and left us here alone, almost. And somehow we can pick up where our sweetheart left off. Somebody said to me, why keep talking about it, let it die. Mm-hmm. But if you had saw the days of beginning, and had been there and saw we few little women bow down on our knees and go and cry, pat one another and say, God will make a way. It's always been mine to leave footprints behind me. I've never been the woman to want everything for myself. And I never saw the day I couldn't buy a loaf of bread. Praise the Lord, but I find total thought is for others. Praise the Lord. So somehow we stepped in. Trembling. Crying, couldn't see my way, but God said, you can make it. A little lady comes on to the radio every morning, many of you have heard her, and I like one song she said, saying, that is, you can make it. And she gave, and that's my speech, you can make it. So God bless this brother, and I just thought I'd let you take a kind of a bird eye view of where we've come from in the last 7 years or eight or whatever it is. But we started out on our way. We borrowed money to buy first stamps to send out a few letters. God bless us. Not trying to throw off on anybody, but if you know what God has done to us, you would want to tell it too. God has blessed us. We came from about 50 or 60 people. Until now, we were notified by the officials last night that there were some 10,000 people in this building and outside. We've come a long way. We've come a long way. I want you to know it was prayer, it wasn't praise, it wasn't the schoolroom, it wasn't the money we had to spend, it wasn't the friends, it wasn't the popularity, it wasn't nothing but the hand of God that has brought us here. I believe prayer will change things. I and my husband started praying 40, 50 years ago, 5 o'clock in the morning. Do you see me standing here? I haven't missed a 5 o'clock prayer 60 or 70 years. I don't even clock the way to get up or anything. He just automatically breathes on me. The spirit of prayer lifts me up. I believe in prayer. I believe as you pray, you can move mountains. So I begin to ask God to help us and show us what we could do. We didn't want to run along every year and come out in debt. When our convention was over, we get a lot of letters that we owe this and that. But God has blessed the women's convention. We had first started, but I think it was 60 or 70 women. Tonight, I mean the last account that they brought to me from the office, we are way over 2,300 now. I mean red card delegates. I said a few minutes ago that we started with nothing. But brethren, I want to tell you something. We ain't ready for nobody to walk in us yet. But I want you to know that tonight, if you had to have us, we got the resources, unbelievable. We didn't get it to spend it all on this or that. But we have laid up in store just that day. We're laid up in store against a fall of time when Shake Center and all other improvements that's being done is going to call on the women and say, what can you do for us? And we got some of the tightest trained, may I use that word, trained women, you ever heard of in your life. They wouldn't let me have a dime almost unless I signed a contract. I'd like you to speak, Mother Mary Belden. Stand up, Mother Belden. I'm not afraid to tell you that Mother Bellamy holds some of the heaviest trade, because you couldn't get it going. She's a great woman. Very great part. We have other women here and there to play the people part like she's playing. Getting our resources together. We had a home. To many of us, it was a white elephant. Decided to get a bit of that home, put every dime of that money in the bank and let it draw us in. And it's still drawing, and we still could be. Someday we'll be able to do a good job. You may say this doesn't sound like what you want to bring to us, Mother. Well, how much more message do you want than the women brought you today? They had you standing at the back of the church. So now I'm going to talk duty to you. Praise the Lord, because it's this kind of work and this kind of administration that we want that will prove to the church the women have a part in this work. It used to be, now let me get ready.
chicken.
And I'm a fish fry. But we started and decided to group our women, put them into departments, into bands. So we went from the Sunshine Band to the highest band we had in the church among the women, the Advisory Board. And we put them all to work. I don't believe in you not working at home. We told them if you don't do your job at home, we don't need you on the board. We started them to work, begging the pastors to let them go in and out of the churches. They won't do any harm. And I've got to thank these bishops, pastors, for opening up the avenue as you have opened it up to the women. Can I say something to you real sweet? And I love every one of you. Of course, Bishop Ross is my special, but I love all of you. Praise the Lord. But when we take it over, praise the Lord, we said to the public, let's do something for the church. Now the auxiliaries of the church belong to the women's department. That's the book. So we began to pull together the auxiliaries. I'm quite aware of the fact that 3/4 of our church at that time was yet under the virgin, sisters. But now the most of our churches is coming out gradually from the virgin and being given a quarter, which makes it larger to bring in. For releasing the women and letting them work in the church and bringing in their reports. Now some men, oh wait a minute, I don't say it like that, but some of the elders thinks that it's theirs to bring in the women's report. Now you all don't have to say that, you push. Let me talk. But the women's report is due to be brought in by the women. Our office would never know what we are doing or how much we can do and everything if we don't keep an account of it. We've got some as fine secretaries as you want to handle our money. We only ask you to let us bring it in and record it and make an account of it. Praise the Lord. And you can meet these women, making it over to the temple office and reporting that money and bringing our receipts back to us. We want to do it like that. To make the money belongs in the temple office. It belongs into the hand of the board and like that. But sweethearts, if we can scramble around and get it up, why don't y'all let us bring that money in?
This is a big deal.
Every supervisor is taught how to see that home is taken care of first. Then when we raise our little money in the fall, we want to stuck with it. We want to bring it in. We want to go in the office and get a receipt. We get two receipts. One from Ella Burnett and one from my secretary. And we just like to do it. Some of the women pass by my door and wave at me. I say, have you made your report, honey? No, Mama, I didn't bring it. I said, go ahead. I don't want you to talk about nobody. I don't want you to care about nobody. Just let me think it up. Brother, I'm not ready to close. But let me tell you, I got it through the wind that you fixed it to launch a great project for the fall. I have been officially notified and told about this, but so many is talking, and I guess I can talk a little bit. But I'm just need